online purchases, whether it's for merchandise or information, can often be an impulse purchase. Chance of that is increased, special offers, trial periods, things like that. However, as you may well know from experience, getting out of these subscriptions can be a lot more challenging than it was getting into them. Federal Trade Commission has proposed new requirements for businesses who offer subscription purchases that could balance the scale and make it more fair for you, the consumer. That's a good thing, right? Joining us to examine what the FTC action includes is the Chief Growth Officer with Chargebacks 911, Pell Ferkarian. How are you today, Pell?
I'm doing very good, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you here. Talk about this from personal experience for myself as well, which I'll interject in a bit. Chargebacks911.com. Learn more about the services of Chargebacks 911. We, of course, have it linked at our homepage as well. So explain what the FTC is addressing here.
Sure. So, Chris, this really is an extension of the pre-notification for negative option. So negative option today, the easy click, right, it comes in a variety of ways and leaves a lot of room for the seller to interpret the customer's silence as acceptance of offer. So there's a strong belief that consumers cannot reap the benefits when, you know, marketers don't do adequate disclosures, et cetera. So what the commission is seeking to do is to improve its existing regulations and really help the consumer understand and be able to navigate and simplify the cancellation process as they do the initial subscription process.
I mentioned personal experience. I had subscribed to Amazon Prime. This is a few years ago, so I can't say for certain whether this is still Amazon's policy, but I lost track of time, forgot to cancel. It was all on me. Saw the charge for the next round come in, and I go, oh, I really don't want this. But Amazon, in that notification of that renewal charge, gave me the option right then and there to cancel, and they would erase the charge, which is what businesses should be doing. But that's not the way all of them take action on this, is it?
It is not, right? Oftentimes, the cancellation process is very, very tedious, with a lot of disclaimers, right, that are attached to the rules set forth by the, you know, I'll say marketer and or the retail itself. So your experience seems to be much easier than what is standard out in market today.
As far as with the fairness of the situation, I mean, what are some of the steps that people have to take to wind up canceling a recurring subscription? It's just not a matter of sending an email saying, I wish to cancel, and here's my phone number, my account number, whatever the case may be. You all would have to show up at the bill at the company headquarters in some cases.
Yeah, there's a lot of difficulty and, like I said, friction, right? So oftentimes the feeling from the consumer is that you're tricked or trapped into the subscription because of what, you know what I mean, the way that it's laid out and the complexity in that cancellation to include spending hours on calls with customer service agents, right, to be routed differently, emails that tend to go back and forth and unanswered, to include showing up physically to the location. And all of that just leads to, you know, severe consequences, I think, both for the retailer and a very tedious, bad for business experience, right, for us as the consumer.
And, you know, the fairness works both ways. If you're a business, you don't want to plan your budget based upon your subscriptions and you're having subscriptions wanting to cancel. Well, I planned on having that money for my budget, and now I'm not going to have it, so now I'm in trouble.
Yeah. That happens a lot, Chris, right? So when you think about the potential consequences that businesses face, if they persist on having a complex, you know, subscription-based model without cancellation being easily it leads to customer churn, whether it's voluntary or involuntary. You think about the brand and the reputational damage, which equate to revenue implications, and then pricing challenges, right? Oftentimes, subscription models are built off of the potential of what is, and as you see that churn, the revenue and the pricing elements become very forefront for the retailers.
Now, what the FTC is proposing is, as Pell mentioned, a simple cancellation mechanism. Just basically, if it took you three clicks, hypothetically, to subscribe, it should not take you more than that to unsubscribe. Does this apply? Because this is something I've caught notice of, more so with political action groups and political campaigns. The recurring option checkbox, if you go to the donate page, is automatically checked. You have to basically work in reverse and uncheck it. Otherwise, you're going to get the recurring charge. Is the FTC policy going to apply to organizations, people who do that, try to trick you into, well, they're thinking front to back, I'm going to make them have to go back to forward, and people don't see that?
Yeah, so the current environment and how they've positioned it is that they are going to be looking at it across all sectors, right, to include the charitable and non-for-profit, and manage that, again, to what you just said, Chris, right, that simplification that, you know, you don't have the negative option program. The opt-in is literally something that we as consumers opt in versus it being pre-selected for us. So that is the path that they are pursuing, and I expect that they will be, you know, successful in executing against that.
Another element of the FTC proposal, new requirements before making additional offers. It would allow sellers to pitch offers, modifications, if you're trying to cancel your enrollment. But before they are able to do that, they first have to ask you, would you like to hear special offers? Again, this seems like a no-brainer, but the fact that we're having to work with rules that have been in place since 1973, it took a while to get to the right idea, but it seems like the FTC is moving to that right idea.
They are, and you know, one of the other elements that have become really evident in terms of consequences and the why of it, one is that consumer experience for sure, impact to retailer, and then just, you know, from our lens and perspective, the potential consequences, right, with respect to receiving chargebacks and everything that comes from it. So that real cost and friction has really motivated the FTC to simplify that. It will absolutely, you know, I think improve where you're seeing a lot of churn, right? Make it much harder for retailers and marketers to, I'll say, air quotes, hide and cover some of the elements that they have, and improve, you know, the demand from or demand to healthy subscription offers.
Going back to my Amazon story, too, another one of the requirements would be that the sellers would have to provide an annual reminder, which in these days of electronic automation, and you can certainly send out email blasts when you're trying to sell something, companies should be able to easily do the same thing to remind people of something.
Exactly right. So those reminders will be part of the mandate. The what more is the consumer receiving, right, should the subscription continue. The date in which subscriptions expire will be there. And part of that also, Chris, is just driven from how vulnerable, right, subscription billing is with respect to friendly fraud. Because people do forget to, you know, cancel it. They don't want to pay for a free trial, right, or they don't recognize what actually hits the statement. So all of that, I think, creates that balance on both the front end and in the back end of the billing process and the notification attached to it.
And just as a reminder for business owners who are thinking, well, this has sort of been working out pretty good for me. How's it work out when you have to deal with a lot of cancellations and angry customers, which is something that I don't think any business would want. So it's a matter of if you want to have a happy consumer relationship, you have to make the consumer happy. And it's a lot more simpler than, well, truth be told, a lot of business owners think it has to be.
Exactly. And complemented with what you just said, right, consumers on the front end of it with a negative experience, but also I would, you know, really push us to think about our own internal employee experience as well. With the complexity of how cancellations happen, et cetera, it does draw a negative experience for the internal employees, as well as just higher internal costs. So if managed right, one, your customer lifetime value improves tremendously because that consumer is having such a good experience from that subscription billing model, tied to improved experience internally, which improves your bottom line. So a lot of real commercial value in managing this, as well as that reputational and brand management.
Of course, your name of the company, Chargebacks 911, clues us all into what you do. But real quick, what are the services that you do provide?
The key services that we provide is dispute prevention up front, and working with merchants to ensure that they know that their dispute could be happening, and then the core focus being on dispute resolution and improving the win ratios attached to what merchants currently see from a chargeback. So it's an end-to-end post-transaction management software capabilities.
And again, you find out more at Chargebacks 911, the number's 911, chargebacks911.com. We have it linked at our homepage as well. A little fairness, a little awareness, and wind up with a mutually positive consumer-business relationship, which is something both sides should always want. We've been joined today by the Chief Growth Officer with Chargebacks 911, Pal Fakhari. And Pal, thanks for the insight, the explanation, what the FTC is up to, and how it really does become that much sought-after win-win. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much.